Someone brushed against Mia as she stood in the door to the shop, and she turned, her hands coming up. If it was an enemy or some enemy of her chap, she would claw his eyes out. "Sorry," said a smiling, black-haired woman. Like the man, she was holding out one of the oblong flash things. In the middle was a circular glass eye that stared at Mia. She could see her own face in it, small and dark and bewildered. "You take picture, please? Take picture me and my friend?" Mia had no idea what the woman was saying or what she wanted or what the flashmakers were supposed to do. She only knew that there were too many people. They were everywhere. This was a madhouse. Through the shop window, she could see that the front of the hotel was likewise thronged. There were yellow cars and long black cars with windows you couldn't look into, although the people inside could doubtless look out, and a huge silver conveyance that sat rumbling at the curb. Two men in green uniforms were in the street blowing silver whistles. Somewhere close by, something began to rattle loudly. To Mia, who had never heard a jackhammer, it sounded like a speed-shooter gun, but no one outside was throwing himself to the sidewalk. No one even looked alarmed. How was she supposed to get to the Dixie Pig on her own? Richard P. Sayre had said he was sure Susanna could help her find it, but Susanna had fallen stubbornly silent, and Mia herself was on the verge of losing control entirely. Then Susanna spoke up again. "If I help you a little now, get you to a quiet place where you can catch your breath and at least do something about your shirt, will you give me some straight answers?"
"About what?"
"About the baby, Mia, and about the mother, about you."
"I did."
"I don't think so. I don't think you're any more elemental than, well, than I am. I want the truth."
"Why?"
"I want the truth," Susanna repeated, and then fell silent, refusing to respond to any more of Mia's questions. And when yet another grinning little man approached her with yet another flash thing, Mia's nerve broke. Right now, just getting across the hotel lobby looked like more than she could manage on her own. How was she supposed to get all the way to this Dixie Pig place? After so many years in Fedic Discordia, the castle on the abyss, to be among so many people made her feel like screaming. And after all, why not tell the dark-skinned woman what little she knew? She, Mia, daughter of none, mother of one, was firmly in charge. What harm in a little truth-telling?
"All right," she said. "I'll do as you ask, Susanna, or Odetta, or whoever you are. Just help me. Get me out of here."
Susanna Dean came forward. 8. There was a women's restroom adjacent to the hotel bar around the corner from the piano player. Two of the yellow-skinned, black-haired ladies with the tipped eyes were at the basins, one washing her hands, the other fixing her hair, both of them twittering in their birdie lingo. Neither paid any attention to the Kokujin lady who went past them and to the stalls. A moment later, they left her in blessed silence, except for the faint music drifting down from the overhead speakers. Mia saw how the latch worked and engaged it. She was about to sit down on the toilet seat when Susanna said, "Turn it inside out."
"What?"
"The shirt, woman, turn it inside out for your father's sake." For a moment, Mia didn't. She was too stunned. The shirt was a rough-woven kalam ka, the sort of simple pullover favored by both sexes in the rice-growing country during cooler weather. It had what Odetta Holmes would have called a boat neck. No buttons. So yes, it could very easily be turned inside out, but Susanna, clearly impatient, "Are you going to stand there, Kamala Moon, all day? Turn it inside out, and tuck it into your jeans this time."
"Why?"
"It'll give you a different look," Susanna replied promptly, but that wasn't the reason. What she wanted was a look at herself below the waist. If her legs were Mia's, then they were quite probably white legs. She was fascinated and a little sickened by the idea that she had become a kind of two-tone half-breed. Mia paused a moment longer, fingertips rubbing the rough weave of the shirt above the worst of the bloodstains, which was over her left breast, over her heart. "Turn it inside out." In the lobby, a dozen half-baked ideas had gone through her head. Using the scrimshaw turtle to fascinate the people in the shop had probably been the only one even close to workable. But simply turning the damn thing inside out hadn't been one of them. which only showed, she supposed, how close to total panic she had been. But now...